James chapter 1, starting at verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen.
Well, good morning. If I haven't met you before, my name is Andrew. I'm the new senior pastor here at Hurstville Grove and Oatley. Let's bow our heads and pray as we come before God's word. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we praise you so much for all the spiritual blessings you have given us in the Lord Jesus. And we pray now that you would bless us even more as we look at your precious word. Show us more of who you are and change us. Amen. Jonathan Edwards, the great preacher in the 1700s, said this: there are two ways to know that honey is sweet. One way is to know it with your mind. The other way is to taste it on your tongue. Two ways to know honey is sweet: know it in your mind or taste it on your tongue. I think that's the same with God. You can know things about God in your mind. It's another thing, though, to be changed by it, to experience it, to enjoy it, to go deep in it. And we've just finished 2 weeks in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. They've all been about the blessings that we have if we follow Jesus. We're so blessed. And we may know all these things, and they're true. If you're a Christian, these blessings are yours. You're forgiven, you're adopted, you're a child of God. But it's another thing to not just know it, but enjoy it, be changed by it, be transformed by it, and to know it deeply. That's our passage today, verse 15 to 23. You see, in verse 1 to 14 has all been about praise. Praising God for all of these blessings. Praise. But today we move from praise to prayer. Praise and prayer always go together. You praise God for things and you ask God for things. And he's just praised God for all the blessings. And now he prays that we would enjoy these blessings and understand them more and more. One preacher, Alistair Begg, says this: too often as Christians, we live like someone who has been given a full board ticket on a cruise ship and who sits on their deck chair eating crackers and drinking water because they haven't realised that all the food is free with their ticket. They never go to the restaurant because they haven't understood just what it is their ticket includes. They're on the boat, but they're not yet enjoying being on the boat. You might be here this morning and you're on the boat. You're a Christian, but there's always more to grasp and experience and understand and enjoy about God. And that is our topic for this morning. It's a prayer. If you're like me, sometimes you might struggle to know what to pray for. This prayer is a great prayer to pray. It's a great prayer to pray for yourself. It's a great prayer to pray for our church. Let's look at what the Apostle Paul prays for as he prays that they understand and experience these blessings. Firstly, He prays a prayer of thanksgiving. He prays a prayer of thanksgiving. Look down in your Bibles at verse 15. For this reason, ever since I've heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. The Apostle Paul clearly loved to pray. I love the idea that he doesn't stop praying. You know, we can pray all times of the day, not just at church, but on our way into a business meeting, as we change nappies, as we get onto the bus, we can be praying all throughout the day. The Apostle Paul, he doesn't stop praying, and he doesn't stop praying prayers of thanks. He's overflowing in thanksgiving to God. What for? The vertical and the horizontal. He thanks God for the vertical, the Ephesians' faith in the Lord Jesus. He's thanking and praising God that these Ephesians trust and follow Christ. But then there's the horizontal, their love for all God's people. See, I don't think there's such a thing as a Christian that just has the vertical. They love God, but they don't love God's people. When you become a Christian, you become part of God's church. And so Paul is thanking God, not just for their vertical faith in the Lord Jesus, but for their love for their brothers and sisters in God's people. How often do you give thanks for your brothers and sisters here at church? It's so easy to come to church and always be focusing on things that you'd like to see change, or complaining about things that you'd like with your preferences. But what a difference it makes to come to church with your eyes open with thankfulness. Your eyes open, ready to thank God for how you're seeing his people love him and love one another. Filled with thankfulness. Now, I've only been here for 2.5 weeks. But even in my time here, there's so much that I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for all the leaders who lead growth groups and all the people in growth groups throughout the week. I'm thankful that I get to serve alongside a brilliant staff team here who are so servant-hearted. I'm thankful for the Everyday English group and how they love people so well. I'm thankful for the divorce care ministry and all the stories I've heard of people who have become Christians and been loved. I'm thankful for Fun Time and the members of the community that are being connected, for the kids and youth leaders throughout the week, for the musicians that lead us. There's so much to be thankful for. How often do you actually verbalize that, not just to God, but to others? Thank you for the way that you led us in song today. Thank you for the way you welcomed that newcomer. I saw what you did. Thank you. Praising God for you. What a difference it makes. Being filled with thankfulness and joy about God's people, their love for him and their love for one another. That's the first thing. He thanks God. The second thing Paul prays for, and we should pray for, is for knowledge. But look at verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. This is a prayer for knowledge, that the Ephesians know God better. Now, they already know God. They're already Christians. They've got all those blessings. They've been chosen and forgiven and redeemed. They've got all of them. They know it, but Paul's praying that they know God better, because there's always more to see and know. I love technology. I love all things tech. I remember watching VHS videos. You know, you'd watch the movie and the image would flicker. You'd have to rewind it and wait, sometimes untangle the tape. I remember that. I remember watching my first DVD. And seeing the clarity, wow, sharp image. Same movie, more clarity. I remember watching then my first high definition film. Same film again, more colour, more richness, more detail. And then I remember watching my first film in 4K. If you don't know what that is, it's okay. It's four times the resolution of high definition. Same film, but even more colour and detail, all more to see and grasp. So you can be a Christian, and you know God, but it's like you're still watching the VHS. You're a Christian, you know who God is, but your knowledge of who God is and your knowledge of his word has never gone deep. There's so much more for you to see. You're missing out on all the colour and the clarity. And so, yes, we may know things intellectually, but there's more to know. I've been married to my wife, Christine, for 11 and a half years. I know her better than all of you, but there's still more that I can understand and more than I can appreciate. There's more to discover. And so no matter how long you've been a Christian here in the room, this is a prayer that we got to pray for ourselves and our church. Know God deeply. Now, it's not just head knowledge. You see verse 18, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. In the Bible, the heart is like the control center of someone's life. It's the thing that shapes how people feel and act and who they really are. And so Paul's praying that the hearts of the Ephesians would be transformed. This knowledge is more than just head. It's life-changing knowledge. It's like that old song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. That's what Paul's praying here, that our hearts would be enlightened, that we'd know more about who God is. And how do we grow in this knowledge? It's the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. God's Holy Spirit helps us understand his word and helps us understand who he is. At the front of the church, it's written up on the building, knowing Christ and making him known. The mission statement, it's a great one. Starts with knowing Christ. It's not head knowledge, but it's knowing more than head knowledge. It's knowing who he is, loving him more, understanding him more, living for him more. Going from VHS to 4K. What a prayer to pray for yourself and for our church. Number three. The Apostle Paul prays for hope. He prays for hope. Read with me verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Every person needs hope. We need hope. Hope helps us press on. Hope helps us persevere. They've looked at the inmates of concentration camps in World War II. The prisoners that gave up hope, they thought there's no way they're going to be free. They were far more likely to get sick and die. But the prisoners who kept hope were far more likely to survive. That's what hope does. It helps you to press on, to keep going, to keep persevering. We need hope, and we have hope as Christians. Our world's pretty hopeless. But as Christians, we have hope. We looked at it last week. It's a certain hope beyond the grave that Jesus has defeated death. It's our inheritance of eternal life. That's ours. That's yours. A certain hope. Maybe you're here this morning and you're feeling hopeless, discouraged, weighed down by this world. whatever it is you're facing. And that's why this is a great prayer, to know the hope, to remember that hope, to be changed by that hope, to keep fixing our eyes on what is to come. I think if you're ever talking to another believer after church who's suffering, one of the best things you can do is pray for them and point them towards the hope that they have of eternal life. You may not be able to fix their problems, you probably can't, but one day God will. It's interesting though, it describes a bit more of the hope, and it describes it in verse 18, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Did you notice that? Last week we looked at our glorious inheritance. Here it says the hope is God's inheritance in his holy people. It's pretty strange that one day we will inherit God and eternal life, and God will inherit us. We'll be his. We'll belong to him for all eternity. Just think how incredible that is, that God would choose for his inheritance to be us. You know, would you want to spend a week with an enemy? And yet God loved us. Even when we were his enemies, he saved us. And we're his inheritance that he is looking forward to. What an incredible picture. Do you remember the hope? Do you know it? Does it spur you on? Does it change you? So he prays a prayer of thanksgiving. He prays a prayer for knowledge, to understand and experience more deeply who God is. He prays a prayer that we know our hope. And lastly, he prays a prayer for power. For power. Read me verse 19. His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Do you know God's power? Notice it says his incomparably great power. I don't know if there's any electricians in the room who want to correct me on this, but AA battery, 1.5 volts. A power bank you might take when you're traveling, 20 volts. A wall socket, 230, 240 volts, an electrical substation, 11,000 volts. You see, when he's talking about God's power, he's not just talking about a little bit of power. Incomparably great power. The word power there in Greek is dynamite. Do we know the dynamite power of God? How do we know it? He rose Jesus from the dead. Could there be any bigger display of power than raising Jesus from the dead and defeating death once and for all? But it gets more amazing. He's been raised not just from the dead, but now he's seated at God's right hand, far above all rule and authority and every name that is invoked. In the time of Ephesus, there was lots of magic arts. People were calling on the name of all kinds of dark powers. Here, there's one name we invoke, call on. It's Jesus, who is above all, every power and dominion. Do you know that power? It's interesting how it's described. The power is for us. You see verse 19? His incomparably great power for us. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that you've got kind of got your own special superpower that you get to use for yourself however you want. How's the power for us? Well, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead rose you to new life when you became a Christian. And the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you by the Holy Spirit. You have the power of God in you, helping you live for Him, helping you serve Him. The cry of the modern generation is all about self-esteem. Know that you're powerful. Know that you can do anything. You're amazing. You can do it. Believe in yourself. That stuff only lasts for a little while before you realize you can't do everything. This prayer is different. It's not the power that comes from us. It's the power that comes from God. In His name, we can live for Him. You know when you give a kid a Christmas present and they're really excited, they unwrap it, they take off the wrapping, and they see there a beautiful toy that is meant to light up, it's meant to move, meant to make sounds, and they're so excited. And then they read those dreaded words, batteries not included. Promises so much, but there's no power to make it happen. Some Christians go about their life as though the batteries aren't included. That if they're going to make anything happen, it's all them. You want to get to heaven? It's up to you. Be a good person. You want to grow as a Christian? Do it in your own strength, your own power. But the gospel comes to us with batteries included. We're saved not by what we do, but by what God has done at the cross. And every day of our life, we have the Spirit of God's power helping us live for Him. If we're going to stand firm against the devil, we need the power of God. If we're going to understand His word, we need the power of God. If we're going to live a holy life, we need the power of God. If we're going to grow as a church, we need the power of God. Too many Christians, we forget that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is in us this morning as His church. Do you know it? It's a real privilege, isn't it, to pray. And to pray prayers like this. Prayers of thanksgiving. Prayers that we know God deeply. A prayer that we know the hope that we have. And a prayer that we know God's incredible power for us. Is this the kind of thing you pray for? The great thing about praying prayers like this from the Bible is because it's in the Bible, we know it's a prayer that God loves to say yes to. And can I encourage you to make this your prayer for yourself and for our church? Let's pray together. Praise be to you, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We thank you for all the ways you've blessed us. And we pray that we wouldn't just know it, but be changed by it. That we'd know you more deeply, love you more fully, follow you more nearly. That you'd be changing us day by day so that we honor and serve you in all that we do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.